Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. Today is a marvelous day of the week. It's Friday and we always go, yahoo, TGIF. We're going to have a couple of days off if you're one of those lucky people who gets weekends off. And what I want to say to you is this time of the week, so often we sort of have that feeling of exhaustion. And I think that you're going to be able to, at the end of the show today, you're going to find yourself feeling inspired. And the reason I say it is that I've got a wonderful guest. Barb Owens is her name. And we are going to be talking about a wonderful, wonderful gift that her husband left for the world. For his son first, but for the world second. I want to welcome you to the show, Barb.
Hi, Donna. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, it's an absolute joy. When I was first called by Amy, who is your publicist, regarding the book, The Survivorship Net, I was inundated with books, as I so often am, and I said, oh, yeah. And she said, I really think you're going to like this book. I said, okay. Well, when I finally received it, it got stuck away among some others, and then Amy called me a few weeks later, and have you had a chance to see it, Donna? No, not yet, but let me go dig it out of the stack. And what I found really surprised me, because I had been made aware that this had been a book that was written for a son, but Amy did not go into a lot of detail on it. And when I read the story, I thought, this is absolutely awesome. First, Barb, I know you are the wife of Jim Owens,
yep.
And Jim has passed away. He passed away on the 4th of January of last year.
Yes.
For 10 years, he battled with brain cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about your husband and how this was discovered and what he went through.
Well, my husband was an endurance athlete. He did triathlons, and he was actually training for a marathon, and he had a seizure. That's how they found the brain tumor. And what he was told at the time was actually that his athletics probably brought on this seizure many years before they normally or typically would have found this brain tumor. And so he was able to, it was a slow-growing kind of tumor, so he was able to treat it like a long-term disease for many years and was still able to do all of the things he loved, lots of physical activity. He was very active in the community and in his church and also in his business. And he was also looking for an outlet going through the cancer treatment, and that's how he ended up finding the Lance Armstrong Foundation. And he put a lot of his energy into not only taking care of himself, but also spreading a message of hope to other people that were in his situation, because so many of the resources were about, dealing with the illness, but not how to live through it. And so he just really felt like there was a piece missing about being positive and living as a survivor.
Now, your husband and 19 others that were part of the cancer community in demonstration of this rode with Lance Armstrong. And Lance Armstrong has been such a phenomenal symbol to people. And I imagine that this was quite an experience for your husband. They rode 3,500 miles from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C. in less than 9 days to promote cancer research and clinical trial participation.
Yes.
My goodness. And here he was himself, someone that was suffering from a cancer that really was not curable to the best of their knowledge. And yet your husband just kept pushing on. How was it for these 19? What was it like for them to be a part of this odyssey, this 3,500-mile odyssey?
Well, first of all, it was a huge honor to be selected out of over 3,500 people. And it was a huge honor not only to ride with those 19 and Lance Armstrong, but to be able to spread such a message of hope and possibility to so many people across the country. Along the way, they rode a relay style, so they were riding, a team was riding at all times, 24 hours a day. And they
wow.
would have rallies at various points along the way, and community outreach, and they were at cancer centers, and they were at schools, and they were in parking lots. And I have to say, he was so excited to be able to send a hopeful message and to be able to do the physical endurance part of it, because his doctors, after he was diagnosed, had pretty much told him he'd never be able to run another race and that he wouldn't be able to do all of the physical things that he was so passionate about. And so it was a personal best for him to do such an endurance ride. But I think the real inspiration came from all the people he met along the way and all the people he was able to speak with and speak to. And it was really just, it was an amazing time. And I have to say, after when he got back, he had his regular checkup and found out that his tumor actually had been growing that whole time he was training and doing that ride. But he just didn't think about that part. He thought about the ride and all of the people that he would meet and really what the outcome would be. Mm-hmm. And then it was shortly after he got back from that ride that he actually wrote the initial manuscript for the book.
Well, it's just an incredible story. Now, let's talk about Bill Kass. Bill is an absolutely amazing artist, and there is he lives actually in my neck of the woods on Whidbey Island.
He does.
Here in Washington. And he was previously a footwear designer for Nike.
He was.
And is that how he and your husband met? Because he has been apparently a longtime supporter of the Lance Armstrong Foundation.
Yes, that's how he met. He was a Nike shoe designer. At the time, he designed several of Lance Armstrong's cycling shoes that he wore during his multiple Tour de France wins. And he also is an illustrator. And so Lance Armstrong has an annual event, and Bill did the poster for the event every year. And he has a very unique and whimsical style. And Jim had the opportunity to meet him in 2004 and was so excited to meet him and told him about this idea he had for a book. And they just kind of got talking, and Jim said, "I've got the story, but I would love it if you could put pictures to this story, because this he just has this very colorful and fun and intricate kind of illustration style." And Jim just thought that he could do a lot of a justice to the story of the circus.
Well, I agree with that. And there is, within the book, there is a cartoon. I'll call it a cartoon illustration. And it appears to be Lance Armstrong on a bike, wearing one of those real exciting hospital gowns, you know, that's wide open in the back, and he's got his IV, and he's just doing his practice right in the hospital halls. I mean, it really is just an absolutely powerful illustration. And this book really is very special on so many levels, and I want to read to my audience the letter that Lance Armstrong put in the foreword of this book. And there is Lance's signature, and also an illustration by Bill of Lance holding his bike upside down above his head, which is incredible. But this is how the foreword that Lance Armstrong, the world-renowned cyclist, what he wrote for this wonderful book by Jim Owens. He said, "A book written by a dad who rides bikes about how to tell his son he has cancer. I didn't write this book, but I'm glad my dear friend Jim did. Riding a bike is thought to be so easy. Even a kid can do it. Telling your own child you have cancer may be the most difficult thing anyone could imagine having to do. Well, Jim did it. He did both. He rode his bike across the country to inspire hope in others, and he wrote this book that talked to his son and all of us about the fear and challenges cancer brings into our lives. Jim did this all with classic Minnesota metal, stabilizing his bike amid tremors, putting that same calm determination into words, reaching within, extending himself to others, showing us what could be done, showing us a will and a way. This book is a story told to a child, told from a man who could outsmile most kids, through most circumstances, and keep pedaling along the way. It's filled with some familiar characters, creating a make-believe world that is all too real for people affected by cancer. It's a parable, but also a story I've seen firsthand. If you're faced with a life and death challenge, or maybe just a small one, give it a read. Or better yet, read it to a kid and have a talk along with it. Take that kid on a bike ride. Lend a hand. Grab a little thread to help weave someone else's net. And my friend Jim, I've seen you lead this circus from hospital to hospital, from town to town. It may require a net, but it is your circus master spirit that made us all spin, ride, fly, and smile along with you. If there is a tougher bike rider or braver cancer patient out there, I've not met them. As a storyteller, you covered ground that we all find so hard to put into words with simple ones that remind us all of how precious life, friends, and family are. May this book serve us all as a guide to living life through the eyes of a child in the toughest of times. Thank you, Jim. Thank you on behalf of all the dads, kids, and cancer patients in the world. Ride on and live strong. Lance Armstrong. That is an awesome letter.
Isn't that? I know. It's so special. It's so special, and that was one of the last things Jim was able to accomplish before he passed away, was to actually, he had the confirmation that Lance would write the foreword, but he actually received the foreword via email, and the whole family, we were just all honored, and really, Lance just captured Jim's personality so well in that foreword.
Well, I think Bill Cass.
Special.
Oh yes, very, very special. Bill Cass has done an absolutely amazing job of illustration with this story. Now, when your husband wrote this, this had to have been very, very intense as an experience for him. Did he share this with you before he shared it with his son?
Yes, he did, and he had written it, the manuscript, really without any of the illustrations. Was the story was just a couple of typed pages, and the what made him write it is that our son, Jim was diagnosed before our son was born, so our son always lived with Jim going through some form of treatment, so we talked about it all the time. But we never had to have a difficult conversation because Jim's health, for the most part, was good, and he could do all the physical things. And one day, Max was 5 years old, and he said, "What's a brain tumor?" He must have overheard us talking. And all of a sudden, Jim realized that he didn't really have a way to explain the serious side of it without scaring Max. And he wrote the story, and he showed it to me, and he... And he was very calm, but he just said it was his way of being able to share it with Max. And I also think it was an outlet for a lot of the other things that go on when you are going through treatment for a long time. And all of the people, it's very hard to express to people how much their gestures mean, how no matter how small or large. We're thankful for everything people do and have done and continue to do. And it was his opportunity really to put all of that in words in such an easy to understand way, because he used the parable of this circus, and so really it came from Max asking him very innocently, "What's a brain tumor?"
And that's something I think is very important. Too often in our culture, we look at death as an enemy, and the truth is, none of us are going to get out without experience it. I mean, that's just the fact of life. And here he was able to convey through a beautiful story of the circus about the survivorship net. And it encapsulates so many different thoughts, and it presents an awareness to a child. And actually, I think it's a great way for adults, too, because there are a lot of adults that have a very, very difficult time dealing with the loss of a loved one. And children seem to, if you are honest with them, have more of a pragmatic kind of an attitude about it. And I'm not saying they don't grieve, and I'm not saying that they don't have feelings, but they have an awareness. It's as if in their world, it's like, all right, this is a part of life. And how wonderful it is that your son has this legacy that he and the rest of the members of the family will be able to pass along to others.
Yes, he's so, Max, our son, he actually just turned 11, and he is so proud of the book. The first thing that he did when we were able to get copies was to donate one to the school library.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on Library Day, he likes to sit and watch to see who goes over and picks it up off the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
He's very proud of it, and he's proud of the story. He loves the illustrations. And I think for him and for myself, what we love is that it's positive, but it's talking about something serious. But it's really just a way for us to let people know how important everybody is, and that having a positive attitude, even through the difficult time, really does make a difference. Because we had two choices: we could either live with the cancer or let it get the best of us,
mm-hmm.
and that's not easy to do. But we were able to do it, and I think that's conveyed in the story. And sometimes when you say that to people that are going through a difficult time, it can seem, you know, insincere maybe, or seem like you're trying to be patronizing maybe. But it really is so true that if you have a positive attitude, you can do so much more. And that
mm-hmm.
was Jim's gift, really. He always had, his glass was always half full. It was always the, you know, what can we do? And he passed that on to Max, too.
Mm-hmm. I know there is a very meaningful letter that Bill Cass has in here, the illustrator. And he said when he had to do the last two illustrations, he works on the computer, and he said he just sat, because Jim had passed away, he just sat looking at the screen for over an hour before he could start. And then once he started, it's like he was in a zone of timelessness, because he said it was a very profound experience. And when he did the last drawing of Jim and your son riding together, he said there was something magical that occurred. He started laughing. And he said, I wasn't in a laughing mood. Jim had died. But he said, I realized it was the joyful feeling one has that a father would experience when he goes around the block for a bike ride with his son one more time. And it is just a beautiful illustration. And then there is an illustration of you and your husband and your son all together right it's right there where Bill's letter is. So it is just an absolutely incredible book. And what I like about it, too, is that Jim expressed an honesty in the story of talking about the circus and the different things that the circus was going through, and how important everything is, as you've mentioned already, in life. The caring that goes on, and also the awareness that though that person is gone, they still will be remembered. And this is what your husband has left, is a phenomenal, absolutely incredible legacy. Now, with your husband's passing and with this beautiful book, The Survivorship Net, do you go and speak to groups? Are you involved with the Lance Armstrong group still, or what are you doing?
Well,
how has your life changed with this book?
Well, which first of all, it's so exciting that we finally that it's finally published, because Jim and Bill shopped for publishers for about 3 years, and they were turned down by several, and we were thrilled when the American Cancer Society said that they would publish the book, because Jim has volunteered for many years, or had volunteered for many years, with the American Cancer Society, and we have actually, you know, used them as a resource, and just realized that having them do the publication would make it even, that endorsement would make it even, I don't know, it would get to the right people.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first thing. I was so excited. And then the next thing was I was so sad that Jim wasn't here for this really fun part of the journey, which is when you get to go out and promote the book after doing the hard work. And so I've done some interviews. We have a publicist that we work with through the American Cancer Society. And I say we, it's Max and myself, are still actively involved with the Lance Armstrong Foundation. In fact, we're in the process of fundraising for the Live Strong ride that will take place in Austin in October. And our fundraising goal is $30,000, so we're in the midst of that. I haven't done public speaking on the book, but I would love to. And I think it will be a process. I think it will go on for a long time. It's not a story that will get old, unfortunately. More and more people, as more and more people are diagnosed with cancer. But as we are able, better able to live with cancer and learn ways to live with it, there's a lot of survivors, and that's the hopeful part of the message, too, in the book. So I think that there will be a lot of promoting to continue doing. We will be at the Livestrong Challenge in Austin. We will have a chance to have a booth. They have a health expo there, and so we'll be able to promote the book there as well. And I'm just thinking of, you know, still trying to figure out other ways. You know, what would Jim do if he were here, and how would he position the book?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it is marvelous. And again, for those of you that have a family member who is ill, if you have a friend who is ill and there are people having a challenge in dealing with it, how do you share with a child? How do you share in a way that allows you to feel empowered instead of disempowered and helpless? The Survivorship Net, written by Jim Owens and illustrated by Bill Cass, is a wonderful book to have in your library, because it is a true story about the author, Jim, and his young son, Max, who one day asked, why or what is a brain tumor? How come you don't do things like you used to do them? So in this story, and this is the legacy that Jim left for his son, he relates what's going on with him and how everything that you do can make a difference, and the people that you are involved with make a difference. Now, when you are working with this, I know also I have a notation here that the American Cancer Society is an independent group, and they are really trying to work as the largest non-governmental investor in cancer research. They contributed about $3.4 billion. That is just an amazing number into cancer research. And they say more than 11 million people in America who have had cancer, and countless more who have avoided it, will be celebrating birthdays this year. They are very much involved with trying to help people understand that there are ways of dealing with this, and you do have to deal with the downside of someone's passing. And other times, maybe you have the good fortune of being able to reverse it. But it is phenomenal, and I know that you're going to have incredible success with it. Now, do you have a website that people can go to find out more about the book, Lance Armstrong, the particular event that you're supporting and funding, that particular foundation? Where do people go?
Well, there's a couple of places. Jim has a website it hasn't been updated in the last year and a half, but there's a lot of information about Jim, and that website is jimsjourney.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's his story, and he has links to a lot of the other associations that he was involved in, and really just his honest blog about his treatment and, you know, kind of his feelings at different stages in the treatment. So there's some really personal and interesting things there. When he was alive, he would do a lot of outreach for people. People would find him from his website, or people at the Lance Armstrong Foundation would use him as a contact person. So there's some really not personal information, but just like his personal feelings about this. It's not all rosy. It really isn't.
No.
It has downside, and it didn't come. I mean, there were a lot of challenges. So jimsjourney.com is one website. To learn more about the Lance Armstrong Foundation, they have a fabulous website, which is livestrong.org. And from their website, you can learn about the various Livestrong Challenge events, which are fundraising events and usually around bike riding or running some kind of physical activity.
Mm-hmm.
It's also an incredible resource for information, referrals to other links for all types of cancers, health, nutrition, testimonials, blogs. It's a phenomenal site. And then finally the cancer.org, which is the American Cancer website, and that one also a fabulous resource for nutrition and coping and for information for caregivers, for the patients, things about prevention and making healthy choices. So those are the three resources, and the book is available from the American Cancer Society website, which is cancer.org/bookstore.
cancer.org/bookstore.
Yes.
Well, Barb, I am so appreciative of your being with me today. I think that you and your son have so much to be able to bring to other people. Your husband left you and the family and the rest of the world a wonderful legacy, and I wish you nothing but success. And who knows, maybe your son will follow in the father's footsteps and be involved in writing himself and be able to tell his own story sometime in the future.
He already has. He's ridden with Lance the last 2 years, so he's well on his way.
Well, that's magnificent. Barb Owens, the book, The Survivorship Net, absolutely beautiful and a heartwarming story on so many, many levels, not just by the author, but by the illustrator and by the essence of what Jim left as a legacy for all of us. This is Donna Seabolt. We're going to be taking a break. Don't forget, go to jimsjourney.com, livestrong.org, or cancer.org/bookstore if you'd like to order the book. This is Donna Seabolt. We're taking a break. Thanks again, Barb Owens, for being with me. We'll be back in just a moment.
Thank you, Donna.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Seabolt. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. That's worldwide toll-free, 888-815-9756. Well, we've got a dynamic week coming up. Can you believe September 1 is just around the corner? Holy Moses, it's hard for me to believe. Where did this month go? I don't know. It just seems like time is just, I know it's not going any faster than it ever has, but it sure does feel like it. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a caller in just a moment, but I do want to let you know about the people that are coming up next week quickly. So, caller, please stay with me. On Monday, we're going to be talking about All Health Breaking Loose by Lois Blasucci, and then we're going to be talking with a fascinating man. His name is Robert Rideout. This guy has lived a life I wouldn't wish on anybody, and I mean that sincerely. However, his material is incredible. Still Singing Somehow is the title of it. This guy has a story that sounds like something of a Hollywood movie status, but believe me, he absolutely lived it. Then, Stephen Fogel is going to be my guest next week. We're going to be talking about how my mind is not my friend. Can any of you relate to that? Has your mind ever caused you a lot of confusion, frustration, irritation, aggravation? Well, we could go on with a lot of adjectives, couldn't we? Well, I know it has with me. So Stephen's book is quite interesting. Running Away from Me. Running Away from Me. We're going to be talking with the mother of a convict that is serving time in prison. This is his story about living in prison. He is just an amazing individual, and what he tells about prison life is just almost unbelievable. It's the real thing, though. Barbara, his mother, who has taken what he's written and has put it in this book, Running Away from Me, is an amazing woman. Following Body Wisdom, Atherton is going to be on the air with us. We are going to learn about how to listen to our bodies effectively and well. So that's our upcoming lineup, so I hope you can join me next week. Now let's go to our very patient caller. Thank you so much for waiting. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Emily, and I'm calling from Phoenix.
From Phoenix, Arizona. And you guys are cooking, aren't you?
We are.
Yes, I got an email from a friend in Las Vegas, and they signed it, Scorching Las Vegas, and I could just hear the sizzle as it was coming through the email, and I know Arizona is your next-door neighbor, so I am sure you are getting the same kind of temps, but that's the time of year. That's just the way it is right now. Okay, Emily, the first thing that I am coming into my mind with when I'm focusing on you is to lighten up. There is a lot that you are putting your arms around, and you're sort of like a mother hen. You're trying to keep everything. You're trying to keep your brood of challenges and actions and all of the things that you know that need to harmonize. You're trying to keep it all together. Well, if you've ever seen a mother hen with a bunch of chicks, you know how some of them get away and then it takes time to get everything back in order. So every once in a while, to use the illustration, one of those little chicks will just sort of get away from you. But eventually, everything is going to be in that environment. You're going to be able to take care of it. You're going to be able to nurture it. And you're going to be able to see a harmonious result. But I do have to tell you, starting in October, which is just the blink away in time, you're going to find that you've got a brand new challenge that's going to be coming up in front of you, and it will be up to you to work with that challenge, put it all together in a very short period of time. It's involving a contract, and you're going to need to keep a very clear mindset so that what you actually produce in the way of a finish product or proposal, someone's going to say, wow, it looks like you've done this before, and you're going to say, yes, I have. So apparently there is a template of style that you are going to find that's going to work very, very well for you that you will be able to adjust as time goes on. So be patient with the small stuff as well as the big stuff, and I think you're going to find yourself becoming more enterprising and getting better results. Do you have a question for me?
No, I'm just astounded.
Why are you astounded?
I guess I'll have to think about it.
Okay, you can think about it. That's all right. That's all right. I'm glad you called in. Have a magnificent summer. Find a nice block of ice to sit on and keep cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful summer now. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into. Well, I may have a recipe or two for you. Well, probably just time enough for one. But I've also got some information that I want to share with you. Do you know your love element? Well, Craig Martin, he has come up with, yes, a love element language. Well, I'm going to be sharing some of that with you. And you may want to take some notes. I don't know about you, but you've heard of the terms earth, air, fire, and water, right? For those of you involved with astrology, you're very knowledgeable about that because there are three signs assigned to each one of those, three for earth, fire, water, and air. Well, he said that he discovered that there's four love styles for each of the elements, and they contribute to a particular personality type. So let me give you a little bit of this. I thought I'd wait for a while, but no, I'm not going to do that. Now, listen carefully and think if this applies to you. The truth is, you might be all of them, but let's just take them one at a time. If you're practical, you like results, you believe dependability is the ultimate act of romance, you tend to be highly tactile and learn best through hands-on experience. Now, does that fit you? Well, you're probably under an earth sign. Your love style mirrors your very sensible nature. A back massage might be romantic to you because it's something you can literally touch. Now, gals, if your guy is an earth guy, he's really going to enjoy a dinner for two. He's going to enjoy that special touch. Just remember, he is going to respond in a way that's going to be sort of practical and down to earth. And the gals are pretty much of the same way. But for the gals that are of that earthy level, well, they may like a little bit of the roses or something like that. Guys, I'll tell you what, that works for just about any female, unless she is someone that likes to live out in the woods and chop wood. Okay, now, are you an extrovert? Do you tend to take a lead on a date night planning? Do you like leadership roles? Well, according to Dr. Craig, you're a fire sign. You're a fire love element. Yes, you like the spotlight. You enjoy it tremendously more than other people. You're warm, you're sincere, you're an outgoing personality, and you love to share your zest for life with the people that you are around. And you know what? They like to know, those under the fire sign, that they're appreciated. So just little thoughtful things can mean a lot. If your gal is a jewelry person, find out what she likes. What's her favorite stone? If she's a shoe person, find out what her favorite shoes are. You never know. And if it's a guy, remember, he likes being recognized too. Now, let's go with those that are highly emotional and tend to go with instincts. You trust yourself. You love to be creative and indulge your artistic side as many times and as often as possible. And you have a knack for listening to your mate. And intuition reigns big time in your world. According to Dr. Craig, you're a water personality, a water love element. You love spontaneity and are happiest when you can share your love by doing something different, whether that means kayaking through the Amazon or maybe taking a trip to the Bahamas and swimming in the buff out in the waters. Who knows? But you love new and different things. So just remember, male or female, there's that spontaneity that really is a lot of fun to experience. But I think also, too, you like to plan things a little bit. Now, what about the person that loves books? Or you always have a BlackBerry in your hand? You love technology? You express yourself easily and like to talk through problems? And you think good conversation is absolutely romantic? Well, that means you're an air love element. You're sociable. You're smart. You're independent, and you are governed by your fierce intellect. One well-written love letter is worth more than a dozen roses. Even chocolate. That love letter is going to mean a lot. And spending time with a special person that you love, doing the things that mean the most to both of you, is your idea of bliss. You have a good sense of humor, and you like a sense of humor in a partner. As I said, you may not just be one of these signs or the love element. You might have a little bit of all of it in you. I bet you'd be a very good person to know. What do you think? This is Donna Sebo, and when we come back, a little bit more of this or that or the other. But more than anything else, if you want to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little intuitive insight. 888-815-9756. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Do you have a pad of paper and a pen handy? I've got a wonderful recipe that would just serve beautifully at a brunch if you were going to be having some people over. So many times when we're going to have a get-together, just recently we had, and I think I mentioned it earlier this week, we had a guest from Peru, and she's a healer, and she was over with some friends. And so I really didn't have the time. It was earlier in the morning, and I thought, gee, it'd be nice if I could fix a breakfast. Well, there was a day, a time, when I would have had a full breakfast spread out, but I didn't have the time for that. So I just baked some special breads, and I went and had some fresh fruit, and that was it. And they thought that was amazing. But I really enjoy dishes that you can put together, and they are going to not only smell good, you know, the kitchen, your home is just going to smell, or apartment is just going to smell wonderful, but they're actually going to taste good, and they're economical, and they are pretty much liked by anyone. This one, a ham and cheese strata, I have fixed versions of this, and I want to share it with you. Now, we've got a caller, so have that pad of paper and pen handy, and I'll give it to you because it's so easy, and you can doctor it up, too. Hi, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Thank you. Mary from Flagstaff, Arizona.
Hi, Mary. Oh, I bet you could fry an egg out on your sidewalk.
You know what? Up here in the mountains, it's a lot cooler than in Phoenix.
Really? How much cooler?
Yeah. Oh, it's like 80 degrees, and we're going through a rainstorm right now.
Oh, my goodness. That's balmy compared to, Phoenix and Las Vegas and areas of Arizona. Oh, my goodness. You're right. That's a big difference. Makes it a lot more comfortable.
We're a well-kept secret. Yes.
Well, more of the world knows about Flagstaff.
All
right.
They do.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Mary, the first thing I'm looking at, hon, is you need an eye exam. You are having these odd headaches that come up every once in a while. And what's occurring is if you're on a computer and you're doing work, there is a stress with the eyes that is occurring. And also this discomfort that I'm looking at, it's a combination of things. It's a combination of muscles not in balance in the neck and in the shoulders and the back. And then this stress with the eyes. And I want you to be aware of your nutrition. I want you to be sure that you have eggs in your diet and or you also have lutein, which is a supplement that is very good for the eyes. Lutein is very strong in pistachio nuts, but do your own homework. Check things out. But you really need to be aware of your nutrition. You don't give yourself a lot of personal attention in that arena, and I'd like for you to become more educated because I believe that you're going to see a difference physiologically. And I want you to stop beating yourself up over mistakes of the past. Look, what's been done has been done. It's water under the bridge. That's it. Move on. Cross over the bridge to the new direction in your life that you're looking for and that you're aspiring to be able to have. You can have it. The reason you have the desire is because the opportunity is there for you to achieve it, but it may come about in a way that you don't quite expect. So just be true to yourself, but I really want you to take care of yourself physically. I'm concerned that you're going to have some setbacks physically, and you don't need to have that. It's not a requirement. So just be good to yourself. Oh, and don't try to do painting up on a ladder and think like you're superwoman. It just isn't going to work. If you're going to find yourself on a ladder, I want you to pay attention to the shoes that you're wearing. Don't wear regular tennis shoes because if there's any moisture of any kind on that ladder, your foot's going to slip. So be aware, think before you do, and if you're smart, you'll have somebody else do it so that you don't have to put yourself into what I feel is harm's way. Do you have a question for me?
I'm looking at several choices regarding career paths going forward. Any insight there, please?
All right. What are you looking for? You're very, very good as a problem solver and as a person that can evaluate both the big picture and the little picture when working with people. What is it you're looking at?
I think branching out on my own and doing counseling on my own as my own business is what I'm interested in.
All right. That is excellent. Now, what type of counseling? Is it going to be marital counseling? You know, is it going to be intuitive counseling? What is it you're looking to do?
Spiritual intuitive, yes.
All right. What I'd like for you to do is to find those individuals that you know have had a good successful patterning with this. Ask them, what are the standards? What do they recommend? Get from them the paradigms that have enabled them to enjoy success.
Very good.
And you do that, and just approach it slowly. Don't think it's going to be a whirlwind. It's not. But you have to look at how you want to structure things and then go for it.
Thank you. I like that.
Good. Much success to you.
Thank you for your advice. I appreciate your time.
You're more than welcome, and thanks for calling into the show.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, dear. Okay, I've got a couple of minutes here. Let me give you this recipe. I won't be able to take any more calls because we're out of time. But, hey, you can call in next week. Now, this is something you can do with leftovers if you want. But this is the recipe, basic recipe. You need about 2 cups of broccoli, and you want the florets. That's about, 4 ounces in weight. And you're going to need 1/2 cup of chopped red onion. If you don't have red, use your favorite. You can even use scallions in this. And then you want 4 rolls, whole wheat rolls. They could be hamburger rolls, whatever you like, but they could be stale bread. If you have leftover French bread or whatever, you can use any of them. Cut it into 2-inch pieces. You need 4 ounces of deli-sliced cooked ham or leftover ham. It doesn't make any difference. And if you don't like ham, you can use beef, you can use pork, you can use chicken, but you want nice 1-inch pieces. You're going to need 8 eggs, 1 1/2 cups of milk. Use whole milk, not skim milk. You need 1 teaspoon of dried tarragon, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, and 1 cup of sharp shredded cheddar cheese, about 4 ounces worth, and then 1/4 cup of grated Parmesan cheese. Now, this is a recipe you can adapt. You can make it spicy. You can try all kinds of things, but it's so basic. It's so good. You preheat your oven to 350 degrees. You coat a 2 1/2 quart baking dish with your nonstick cooking spray, or if you want, just use butter. You can do that, too, if you want. And in a microwave bowl, a large one, you want to put your broccoli, your onion, and 1 tablespoon of water. You want to cover it. You can put a wet paper towel over it and put it in there, and then you want to microwave it on high until they're just tender. If you don't want to use, and that's about 4 to 5 minutes, I'd say 2 to 3, because I like my veggies a little more crisp. But if you don't want to do that, just steam them. Put them in a little steamer if you want. Just steam and in a couple minutes, and they're ready to go into it. So you uncover, and if necessary, you want to drain the excess water. Now, in a baking dish, you put your vegetables, your bread, whatever your favorite bread is, and your meat. And that could be ham. And then you whisk your eggs, your milk, your tarragon, salt and pepper, just whisk that together. Stir in the cheddar and the Parmesan into the milk mixture. Pour it into your baking dish over all of the vegetables and the meat. Put it in the oven. Bake it uncovered for 45 minutes. The cheese will get this wonderful golden brown. And oh, is that good. If you don't have broccoli, you can use other vegetables. This is a basic dish that is fabulous. Oh, my goodness, we're out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You belong to you, nobody else. But if you give yourself the best, and if you work at being the best with integrity, dependability, and developing your own skills and talents, by golly, who cares if the world beats a path to your door? You'll be living in joy. And you'll be spreading your light to everybody around you. Enjoy a fabulous weekend. We'll be back here same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com, Station 1, The Donna Sebo Show. Talk to you on Monday. This is Donna. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.